8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast. Whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers in this hour of radio about radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
3, 2, 8. I'm Tom Rowe at the Wave Farm in New York. Today we're going to hear three works from Sherry DeLis on the Radio Art Hour: Jarman's Garden, Containers, and From Scratch Fidelity. Sherry DeLis's work focuses on deep listening and collaboration. Her audio pieces for radio and podcast have earned some of the world's top radio prizes for story and sound arts, and her sound installations and documentary soundscapes have been exhibited widely. She's been a staff features producer for Australian Broadcasting Corporation Radio National and WNYC, hosted conversations for ABC TV, and she co-founded a multi-award-winning media sharing platform described by Conversation as, quote, an outstanding exercise that explored new ways for the broadcaster to listen to its audience and collaborate with them, unquote. A former Australia Council New Media Arts Fellow, Amara Foundation Tending Space Fellow. Her PhD research explores mindfulness and contemplation as foundation for creative practice and creative orientation to experience, including illness. Teaching mindfulness, DeLis works with individuals and groups to find inner listening to create, to lead, and to heal. Go to sherre.be for more information about Sherry DeLis.
3, 4, 6, 7, 4, 4, 9, 8, 7, 0. 3, 6, 2, 4, 3.
This is Karen Werner. The radio artwork you're about to hear is called Jarman's Garden by the Australian-based radio artist Sherry DeLis. Jarman's Garden was produced by Sherry DeLis with Chris Abrams in 2000 for the celebrated Australian Broadcast Corporation show The Listening Room. Jarman's Garden is an impressionistic rendering of filmmaker Derek Jarman's famous garden on the coast of England. In the last years of his life, as he was dying of AIDS, Jarman created the garden out of things washed up from the sea. After Jarman died, the garden was tended to by his partner Keith Collins, whose voice we hear in the piece. Jarman's Garden is 14 minutes and 49 seconds long. I hope you enjoy.
It's a wooden house made of shiplap, painted black with tar. From the front, it looks like a kind of child's drawing of a house. Two little windows, a little door in the middle, and an off-center chimney. It's called Prospect Cottage, Prospero's last place. When Derek moved here, one of his first acts was to break Prospero's wand from the Tempest, put it over his knee and snapped it in two. Prospero finally come to rest. these the highest points for a mile in every direction. There are no trees in Dungeness at all. And birds use these poles as surrogate trees. Tree creepers and flycatchers, weird things, saying this is my territory. What have we got here? A big piece of chain off a boat. Very heavy, it's about the limit of all I can carry. And it encircles and protects the iris in the middle. And particularly with Derek losing his sight, that as you walk through it, you can imagine all the smell of the lavenders and the santalinas. Poem on the house. The poem on the house is, it's swollen and deformed with weathering. So now it's illegible.
Oh my God! Oh, it's so beautiful!
Completely swollen, but they're soft, and when they've been tarred, they become rock hard again. This through the wall.
Sun.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Busy old fool and lonely sun, why dost thou thus through windows and through curtains call on us? Yeah. And because I transcribed all of Derek's diary, so I know how his handwriting went.
Looks more like mushrooms hanging off.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. It's beautiful when it's tarred, but it's a yearly job. It takes a couple of days. I see work and labour, your whole life mapped out in doing the garden. Well, there's an hour of my life, and there's 3 hours of my life. And this is one of the places it was imagined that would be invaded first. The fences were made of iron rods that were spiral at the bottom for screwing into the ground. We found a big pile at the back and inverted them, so the spirals now stick in the air. And they're kind of like tendrils. There used to be a ruling here that you couldn't buy a house unless you had a boat. And that was the boat that was associated with this house. So I dragged it off the beach one day and put it here. I'm letting it slowly turn to dust. Japan, we went to this astonishing bamboo temple where there were bamboo trees and they made this fantastic hissing sound, and our guide told us that the hissing sound was the sound of the spirits. And we have these kind of triangles and hoops that when the wind blows make this kind of nice chiming noise. Reminiscent of that scene in Sebastiane, where the man's sitting, the sheep go by with the bell.
Twiddler up, so I'm going to pull my chin.
It chimes at any time it wants, and as many times as it wants. It's had its mechanism twiddled with to make it a random clock. Derek used to wear a little tiny tin frog, and it was really handy because I could find him in the dark, because he used to get lost. I could tell exactly which room he was in. The Japanese word for frog is the same as the word for go back, which is the same meaning as recover. What else can I say? It's fitting and perfect that this cottage was built by a fisherman and is now returned to a fisherman's cottage. It's how it should be. Out with the artists and in with the fishermen. My neighbour just knocked on my door, asked me to go out with them one day. They were short crude. And it has been 4 years now. I've seen beautiful things there, amazing. Something called a common sun star. It's a kind of starfish with 12 legs. And I can't believe that someone first saw one and called it common, because it is the most uncommonly beautiful. Its patterning is a fractal that as you look into it, you can fall into this tiny orange and yellow thing. So we see things out there.
You just listened to Jarman's Garden, a piece produced in 2000 by Australian-American radio artist Sherry DeLeese. This is Wave Farm radio artist fellow Karen Werner. For more information about the work you just heard, visit the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org. Containers, which you're about to hear, was produced by Sherry DeLeese and Russell Stapleton in 2001 for The Listening Room. The Listening Room was a landmark radio art show on the Australian Broadcast Corporation that aired from 1988 to 2003. Containers is a composition made of recordings of working sites around Sydney Harbour and Port Botany in one day. I was reminded of Containers the other day while hearing the sounds of city construction near where I live. Because I have listened to Containers many times over the years, I heard these sounds of hammering, machinery, and workers yelling as music. Containers is 14 and a half minutes long.
Are you going or what?
Up here going. Been here all day.
astern, we're going astern. When we start swinging her, you'll give her a few more herbs. You might get a bit more.
I've got a sick on your blood, Professor. You're coming back to San Diego, mate.
You just heard Containers by Sherry DeLeese and Russell Stapleton. To learn more about this work and many other examples of radio art, please visit the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
7-4-3-0-0-7-5-3-0-0-7-5-3-0-0.
Sherry DeLeese produced From Scratch Fidelity for The Listening Room, a celebrated radio art program at the Australian Broadcast Corporation. From Scratch Fidelity is a meditation on two archival recordings, Zulu's Ball by King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band in 1923, and a 1948 interview with Helen Keller and her assistant Polly Thompson by the Australian Broadcast Corporation's Peter McGregor on the occasion of Keller's 1948 visit to Australia. The piece also features a recording of Claire Rockmore on the theremin, an instrument played without touch. From Scratch Fidelity is a piece I listen to again and again for its associative structure, its musicality, and maybe most of all, the way it plays with themes of recording and touch. The piece is 18 and a half minutes long.
In 1923, King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band was the toast of Chicago. It was playing at the Lincoln Gardens, and everybody who was anybody in jazz and dance music went there to listen to them. It featured the twin cornets of the king himself and of the young Louis Armstrong, who, as we know, was to become, I suppose, the great god of the trumpet in jazz. One fine day, the orchestra was summoned to a recording session at the Jeanette Studios in Richmond, Indiana. In those days, there weren't such things as microphones. It was all done into a big horn, and the net result was cut onto a wax disc, which was kept in an oven to make it soft. Then it would be put into a felt-lined box and rushed to the processing plant, where it would be electroplated and a metal negative would be made. The problem was that on this occasion, of the various records made in the studio that day, one of them suffered some sort of damage, possibly because the box in which it was being carried fell on the floor, or even perhaps an over-enthusiastic jockey engineer sat on the wax, who knows? But the result was that when it got to the processing plant, nobody really checked to see whether it was in workable condition or not. And the first thing that anybody knew that it was not really quite up to par was when the pressings were issued. And the records, in this case of a title called Zulu's Ball, were quite unlistenable. The reason was that the groove had been actually squashed to an angle of 45 degrees. Normally it would be something like 90 degrees to the flat surface of the record so that the needle could then trace the modulations in the groove. At 45 degrees, well, you can't actually get inside. So most of this was withdrawn until a couple of copies turned up, a couple of copies that got away, in the late 40s. One of those has disappeared, but in the mid-70s, quite good trace was made of this extremely rare recording, a unique recording, in fact, by the engineer constructing a pickup head which actually read the groove at an angle of 45 degrees. And that is how we can hear Zulu's Ball to this day. Unfortunately, the record, although it still exists, has passed through different hands, and as a result of being played on various heavy phonograph sound boxes, it's now basically ruined. Thank you. As a child, Helen Keller was taken by her father to Alexander Graham Bell in the hope of having her hearing restored, but to no avail. Though meningitis had rendered her unable to see or hear since birth, famously, it was through her teacher's touch that she found a way to speak to the world. By the time of her 1948 public tour of Australia, such was her near-mythical status, crowd control was required to protect the 68-year-old Helen from those hoping to make physical contact with her. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation's Peter McGregor was one of those fortunate enough to conduct an interview with Helen through her companion Polly Thompson, and he set up a disc cutter to record the conversation. As they spoke into the microphone, the open palm of the platter spun underneath the tip of the cutter stylus, and a delicate line was etched into the soft acetate coating of the disc medium.
I'm sitting in the lounge room of Helen Keller. Deaf and blind Helen Keller has come here to Sydney with her secretary and her substitute for eyes and ears, Miss Polly Thompson. And it really is a wonderful experience to see these two together and to hear them talk, and that's what you're going to do now. First of all, Miss Thompson is going to tell us how long she's been with Helen Keller.
I have been with Helen for 34 years. People are generally very interested in knowing how I communicate with Helen. I spell into her hand by the manual alphabet. It's very simple. Of course, I spell very fast. I spell every letter of every word. But after having been with Helen for 34 years, I ought to be able to spell pretty rapidly. Helen says I spell about 85 words a minute. She says that is going express.
Well, it certainly is when you're using every letter of each word. No abbreviations.
No abbreviations at all. Helen taught me in the first place the manual alphabet, and she didn't teach me any abbreviations.
And how is she able to follow you, Miss Thompson?
She reads my lips. And I will show you, Mr. McGregor, how Helen reads the lips. With her thumb resting on the throat, her first finger on the lips, the second on the nose. With her thumb on the larynx, she gets the guttural sounds. Words like goodness,
golf,
and the K's, kangaroo. And with her first finger on the lip, she gets the labial sounds, the P and B sounds. Perth, yes. Brisbane, yes. And with her second finger on the nose, she gets the nasal sounds, the M and N sounds, like machinery.
Machinery,
yes. Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia.
Far from home, Helen. Yes. Tasmania.
Tasmania.
I thought I'd catch her.
That really is wonderful. You've got to speak clearly, and it seems that she can pick up every word you say.
Oh, yes. Excuse me, I've got a cold. I always think it is so amazing that Helen gets a word like vicissitude, for instance. Yes, it is amazing, never having heard a sound, you know.
And how would she get on if she hadn't you? Is there anyone else in training?
Oh, well, there are others who can spell into Helen's hand, and of course she can read almost anyone's lips if they speak slowly and distinctly. I think probably Helen would have to give up her public life, but I always say that I hope that Helen is taken first.
But I feel you would miss her almost as much as she would miss you.
Yes, I think I'll not want to last very much longer after Helen goes.
Well, let's speak of pleasures. Helen, I know, has a lot of pleasures. I saw some flowers come into her. She felt them with her fingers, and I thought she had some wonderful thoughts you could tell about these flowers. I wonder if she'd speak about flowers for us.
Helen, won't you tell Mr. McGregor and your friends what flowers mean to you?
Flowers express to me.
Flowers express to me.
The spirit of forms.
The spirit of forms.
More
beautiful
than can be seen.
Than can be seen.
They symbolize.
They symbolize
immortality.
Immortality. And the joy of a life.
Unfettered by limitation.
Unfettered by limitation. I'd like to say that Helen can distinguish most of the flowers. There are very few that she cannot.
And the colors sometimes?
Well, the red roses and purple pansies, they have a thicker petal than the white or the pink rose or the white pansy.
What else can she tell by feel or by vibration? Can she hear music?
Oh, yes. She follows music perfectly by placing her hand on the instrument. She keeps perfect time. She gets the rhythm.
Well, then there are two things I want to ask her, Miss Thompson. What is her favorite flower and her favorite music? Would you tell us that?
Helen, they have a thicker petal than the white or the pink rose or the white pansy.
What else can she tell by feel or by vibration? Can she hear music?
Oh, yes. She follows music perfectly by placing her hand on the instrument. She keeps perfect time. She gets the rhythm.
Well, then there are two things I want to ask her, Miss Thompson. What is her favorite flower and her favorite music? Would you tell us that?
Helen, what is your favorite flower?
Flowers. I have different flowers.
I have different flowers.
I have moons.
Just as I have moons.
Roses.
But roses.
Violets.
And lilies of the valley.
For trees.
I passionately love the eucalyptus tree.
Thank you so much for those words, because we love them here in Australia too.
And Helen, what is your favorite music?
Or her favorite instrument?
Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
It symbolizes to me.
Because it symbolizes to me.
It sublime triumph over deafness.
It's sublime triumph over deafness.
Well, thank you so very, very much, Helen Keller. I feel we could go on talking for a long, long time. But I mustn't be selfish. I know many others want to talk with you. And I've already had more than my share. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Mr. McGregor. It's very delightful.
And the record of Zulu's ball itself is a fetish item, as they say, and changed hands many times since it was discovered in the junk shop in the mid-40s. For very large sums of money, in fact. The last time, for approximately $5,000. And in fact, the status of the record as an object has rather become more than the status of the record as a piece of music. People just want to touch it. Thank you.
That was Scratch Fidelity by radio producer Sherry DeLeese. This is Wave Farm radio artist fellow Karen Werner. For more information about the radio work of Sherry DeLeese and other wonderful radio artists, visit the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
That was the Radio Art Hour, mostly put together from the work of Wave Farm Radio Art Fellow Karen Werner. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the radio art you heard featured on the Radio Art Hour.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.